This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. The Boston Public Library Board of Trustees will vote on an interim library president and name an interim board chair tomorrow. That's after the resignation of the people currently in those posts, Amy Ryan and Jeff Rudman. The changes come after an unwelcome turn in the spotlight for one of Boston's most venerable institutions. The library revealed this spring that two masterworks were missing and had been for close to a year. Earlier this month, library employees found the prints not far from where they should have been filed. All of this made us want to head over to the landmark building in Copley Square to see the rare and remarkable items that make this as much a museum as it is a library. Boston Public Library is one of only two public libraries in the country with a research collection. The other one's the New York Public Library. But administrators in Boston acknowledge they're far behind in organizing their massive collection and making it accessible to the public, and they pledge that's changing. Enter Boston Public Library and you immediately notice the bustle. There's a stream of visitors walking through metal detectors. Somebody stops at a front desk to donate books.
Thank you for your donation. Thank you very much.
And you can't help but be struck by the library's grand feel. There's a gold-toned marble staircase right in front of you. The designer called the place a palace for the people.
McKim, Charles Fallon McKim, our architect, was a master in marble. We call him almost a painter in stone.
There are masterpieces on permanent display, including the gallery of murals by John Singer Sargent, exploring the triumph of religion. Meg Weeks gives public tours.
The entire scope of the mural took him 29 years to complete. It was painted entirely in England.
Stop to gaze at it, and you hear the strains of music coming from a small gallery nearby. It's got an exhibit of Boston's Handel and Haydn Society. It's hard to imagine, given the chock-full stacks of books in one room after another at the library, but 94% of the entire collection is tucked away. That's about 22 million items stored behind the scenes. Those items are accessible to the public only by special request.
My name is Laura Ermscher. I'm the Chief of Collection Strategy at the Boston Public Library, and we're standing right now in the Special Collections Lobby.
Do you have to whisper here?
No, you don't.
Oh, good. Okay.
The material in the cases on this first floor are many of our medieval manuscripts, and on the floor above us, the mezzanine, that's the John Adams Library.
And what's there?
It's the entire collection that John Adams accumulated while he was alive. It's his personal books that he made notations in.
This is where visitors check in, by appointment only, to see the BPL's special collections. Really special. There are first prints of works by Shakespeare, original scores by Mozart, written in his own hand, and playbill programs from Boston theatrical productions through the decades. And the most valuable piece of all, George Washington's Congressional Medal, the first one ever awarded. To get into the room, you have to show a photo ID and a Massachusetts library card and complete a registration form.
So just basic information, your address, telephone, email.
The collection includes two items that are suddenly famous again. The Rembrandt and Durer prints that went missing. Staff scoured the place. They were hoping the masterworks were still someplace inside. It turned out they were. A conservation officer found them tucked randomly on a shelf. They'd been misfiled and nobody knows why or by whom. That incident has brought to light a major problem in an institution that's been trying to keep up with organizing and digitizing its holdings.
The challenge has really been having a single inventory of everything in one place, and then also ensuring that we make that fully available online in a digital format to the public.
David Leonard is the library's director of administration and technology.
Well, we do have records of almost everything, but they're not all in one place or not easily accessible. We really need to restore people's faith that we do know what we're doing and that we do have a plan to address any of the gaps.
This is where visitors can see the treasures, in the locked special collections reading room. A handful of people are quietly doing research at the long wooden tables. One of them is a woman with a buzz cut and lots of piercings, Meg Studer. She came in from New York City to research Boston trade in the 1800s.
These are the wharfage books, so they're basically the account books of every ship that's docked, what it's unloading, the price that it's paying for dockage time, and what it's taking on.
Not far away, the library's Laura Ermscher gently opens a latched black box.
This is where we store many of our prints.
That includes the two prints that were misplaced. They're valued at more than $600,000 together. Since they were recovered, they've been barcoded and cataloged and literally kept under lock and key.
And the first is the Rembrandt self-portrait. There's a protective tissue over that I'm taking off. And then the print underneath is Adam and Eve by Albrecht Dürer. And this is an engraving from 1504.
In the wake of the disappearance and ultimate recovery of the Dürer and Rembrandt prints, Boston Public Library is stepping up its process to digitize its collections, a job that started 10 years ago. The entire print collection, 320,000 prints, is being inventoried and barcoded starting this summer. Library heads hope to finish it by the end of the year. Why hasn't that been done until now?
For decades, the focus of the Boston Public Library was historically to just collect.
Director of Library Services Michael Colford says the library wasn't so good at recording and cataloging. And making matters worse, it didn't take advantage of federal grant money available in the early 1980s to help libraries digitize. Now it's being more selective in its acquisitions and spending millions of dollars organizing them.
The president of the library determined that we should decide that anything we did acquire would immediately be cataloged so we could find it and then conserved and considered for digitization, which is another way for us to keep track of our materials.
In the meantime, you'd think library administrators would be gleeful that the works by Rembrandt and Dürer were recovered and never even made it outside the building. They are, for the most part.
You guys sleeping better?
Yes and no. There's certainly relief, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Library officials tell us they're still investigating reports of some missing music manuscripts and old coins. If you'd like to see pictures and find out more on this story, go to our website, wbur.org.